This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, December 3rd, 2010. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Congress is nearing the end of business for 2010, but there is still some business left. This week, I talked with Arkansas Senator Mark Pryor about the lame duck session in Washington, his stance on the possible repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the Bush administration tax cuts, and more. We began the conversation by discussing an issue that has become a pet project of the senator, using polygraph tests to help fight corruption of U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents.
They're supposed to do a routine polygraph for all the new hires that they have for 100%. Right now, they're only doing about 15%, and they're trying to get that up to, 25, 30, and on up to 100%. And it's, like I said, that's probably going to take most of 2011 to hire the what they call polygraphers, the folks that do the polygraphs. And that's going to take a little time. But also part of this is they do an ongoing background check where at least once every 5 years at a minimum, they're supposed to do a thorough background check on their employees. And when they do these, the polygraph is great, but also the background checks. When they do these, they actually find a lot of issues and a lot of problems with these folks, and some of those are corruption issues. And that's what we've really focused on, because when you look at the drugs in this country today, 50% of all the methamphetamine in this country comes through Mexico. That's the same with marijuana, and 90% of all the cocaine that comes into the U.S. comes through Mexico. This is a huge industry down in Mexico, is these drug cartels, and unfortunately they have a lot of muscle in the U.S. as well, and we're even seeing that in Fayetteville. There's a Mexican drug cartel presence in Fayetteville. There's one in Fort Smith. There's one in Little Rock. So this is a real problem, and this is not something that's just isolated down on the border. This is one that's hitting home.
Heading into the final days, weeks of a lame duck Congress, do you expect to see much come out of Washington between now and the next seating?
I don't expect a whole lot to get done in this session of Congress. I think the two main things that we're trying to do is, one, to keep the government running. We need to, we've done all of our appropriation stuff in the Senate, on the Senate side, and we have not, basically because of the floor situation and the filibusters and all that, we've not been able to get any of those passed through the Senate and get those done like we should have. So we need to get all that done. And probably what we'll do is what they call a continuing resolution, where we just, kind of hold this over till next year, and, we'll do this next year. But see, we have that, keep the government running. And the second thing is the tax cuts. And everybody's been talking about the Bush tax cuts and what we do with them. The problem with extending all of the Bush tax cuts is you're going to add $4 trillion to the national debt. And that's something I'm not comfortable doing. I think we need to be going the other way on debt. But at the same time, I think, in fairness, this is not a good time to be raising taxes on people around the country, because when you look at our economy, more taxes is kind of the last thing we need right now. So my guess is what we'll do is either for a year or two, some or all of these will be extended for a year or two, and then some may be extended for a longer period of time, and others may sunset at other times, but they're working on that right now. The president and the leaders of both houses, Democrats and Republicans, had a meeting at the White House this week about that and about the START treaty, and they are trying to work through those issues right now to try to get everything done by the end of the year.
Would you be okay with repealing the Bush tax cuts on the wealthiest segment of Americans?
I am, and one reason I am is the folks need to remember that if you make over, let's say $250,000 in income or over $1 million in income, some people are talking about $1 million level now, but if you make over that amount, you still get the benefit of the tax cuts, from zero to the million. So you still get a tax cut, and that is still extended, but you just don't get it over and above the $1 million level. And again, when you look at the deficit that we're in, this deficit spiral, every year we're doing more and more deficit, and that just compounds the national debt. We cannot stay on this same track. And one thing I'm really glad that happened this week in Washington is the Debt Commission came out with their recommendations. Now, look, a lot of these are going to be very unpopular, but we have to look at our books. We have to get our fiscal house in order. We have to look at our discretionary spending, our entitlements, and our taxes. We have to put everything on the table. And to me, the Bush tax cuts are really part of a larger discussion we need to have about getting our fiscal house in order. My sense is that most people in our state don't want to pay any more taxes, but if we do some spending cuts and we do some other things, if a tax increase or at least changes in the tax code are part of that package, I think most people in our state would be willing to do it if we actually reduce the debt. And so the debt commission that came out this week, they now have a plan, a blueprint on how to do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are going to be some things that are not popular, you know, that they're trying to get to where they need to be. And I think they're going to save $4 trillion over 10 years, which is pretty impressive.
You've gone on record as opposing the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Does the Pentagon survey that was released this week change your mind at all?
You know, let me tell you, it really opens my mind, because what I've tried to say all along, and I haven't always done this articulately, but what I've always tried to say is the Pentagon has been in a process. They have this survey, and the survey results are now out. They're doing some other things over there at the Pentagon to look at how Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal would impact readiness, how it would impact morale, recruitment, retention. You know, you also have to remember, we have two wars going on right now, and you don't want to upset the apple cart too much. Well, apparently, with this survey that came out this week, and the Armed Services Committee is having hearings on it this week, on Thursday and Friday of this week here in the Senate, you know, apparently the results of that are that this maybe isn't as big of an obstacle as some people maybe thought it was going to be. So I look forward to digging into that survey when I get a minute. I just hadn't had a chance this week. And I look forward to listening to the Armed Services testimony and see where we are. But, you know, I'm glad that the Pentagon has been going through this process, and it looks like it's been a fair process, and I want to weigh that before I make my decision.
Senator Mark Pryor spoke with me from his office in Washington, D.C., yesterday morning. There is more from the conversation, including what it means for all 75 of Arkansas's counties to be eligible for natural disaster assistance because of agricultural losses due to drought. Look for the link at OzarksAtLarge.com.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 till midnight. And that's the Claudia Burson Trio you hear in the background from a live recording made a couple of years ago during her holiday concert at the Unitarian Universalist Church. Claudia will be joining me here in the studio this Friday, and we'll talk about the annual holiday concert event, and we'll hear some of her music. We'll also hear from Gary Burton, Bill Evans, John Abercrombie, Yusef Lateef, and much more. Join me this Friday at 10 p.m. for Shades of Jazz.
This is Ozarks at Large. After getting another monthly revenue report showing stronger economic conditions, Governor Mike Beebe has lifted a freeze on pay raises for state employees. Richard Weiss is director of the State Department of Finance and Administration.
We did a little analysis today, and when you wash out the effects of a lot of one-time things that we did last year, where we had brought in money from other funds and all that to shore up the budget, When you wash that out and just look at what the economy is producing this year compared to last year, there's like a 5.8% rate of growth, which is pretty good growth.
While Weiss says the raises will not be retroactive, University of Arkansas Chancellor David Gerhardt says U of A employees will receive retroactive payments on December 15th, and the new salary levels will be reflected in employees' December paychecks.
The Arkansas Department of Health is missing a radioactive gauge. The gauge was reported missing from a construction vehicle en route from Little Rock to Bryant. Spokesman Ed Barham says it could be dangerous if handled for a long period of time.
The gauge isn't high risk, but it could pose a health risk if someone were to handle it improperly or, you know, try to take it apart or carry it around in the front seat for a long time. It's not a toy, and we would like for people, if they find something like this, please call immediately the nearest police authority in the Bryant or Little Rock area.
Barham says the gauge weighs about 90 pounds and is in a plastic transport case.
And the head of the GOP in Arkansas is standing by Republican National Committee Chair Michael Steele. Many within the party are calling for new leadership, citing financial troubles and recent controversies. Arkansas GOP Party Chair Doyle Webb is one of three Arkansans on the 168-member committee, which will make a decision next month. He says Michael Steele has been good for Arkansas.
Michael Steele has been to Arkansas four times during this election cycle. He made a commitment early on to us when we made our presentation to him of what we thought we needed in Arkansas to help win races. He delivered on those commitments. He never hesitated one moment. He has been a friend to Arkansas, and I feel beholden to vote for him if he chooses to run.
Steele has not taken part in a forum held this week in Washington by potential candidates for the post, but Doyle Webb says he still has time to make a decision before next month's vote by the Republican National Committee.
Beginning with this edition of Ozarks at Large, you'll hear a new voice, Christina Thomas. Christina joins Ozarks at Large as our energy correspondent for the next year. She joins the staff as an Energy Corps representative, one of several Energy Corps participants in Fayetteville. Her first report for Ozarks at Large concentrates on how a bit of home detective work can lower utility bills.
You're being audited. Not words that most like to hear. But if the auditor is Gary Kahanek, one might welcome him, even ask him to perform an audit. Gary is a home energy auditor. His main goals are to save money, energy, and to educate. Much different from the traditional and more familiar financial audit.
A home energy audit is a way to go into a home and look at all of the energy features in the house, anything that affects the energy consumption of the house over a year's time. It would be the insulation, the air leakage of the house, the appliances, lighting, other electrical plug loads, the type of mechanical equipment, the heat, the furnace, the air conditioning, water heater, whether they're efficient or not. And you add all those together along with the occupants and their behavioral patterns, and that determines how much energy a house uses over a year's time.
Why would one want Gary snooping around their home, testing windows, blowing at ductwork, poking at appliances? Most may think that the ultimate goal is to lower utility bills, but that usually isn't the case. Even those that can afford higher energy bills may choose to have an audit performed for comfort reasons. One room may be cooler than others in the winter or warmer than others in the summer. Another is indoor air quality.
A lot of people may not realize it, but as the house improves energy-wise, we're also addressing a lot of the problems that cause poor indoor air quality, like mold, dust, fiberglass, and insulation fibers and particles that get sucked into the house. So as the house is sealed up and improved, the air quality goes up.
There are many different types or levels of the home energy audit, from a do-it-yourself assessment to a comprehensive audit. But if you're just starting out, Gary says the first step is getting educated. Begin by looking online or in magazines to learn about what factors affect energy use in the home. The second step is a walkthrough visual survey performed by Gary. It is a simple assessment of the energy use and features in a home, resulting in initial recommendations. The next level is a diagnostic audit. At this stage, Gary brings in various pieces of equipment, most of which resemble items from a Ghostbusters movie.
We bring in all the diagnostic equipment, the blower door, which actually is a way to measure the leakiness, the air leakage of the building envelope, the house itself. and it's a big fan or a blower hooked up with digital pressure gauges, and we actually draw a slight vacuum on the house and measure how much air is moving, and from that we determine the leakage of the house. We also test the leakage of the ductwork for your heat and air system, and that ends up being, in most older homes, and even a lot of new ones, that's the single most important thing to look at in terms of your return on investment, because the energy loss in the leaky ducts is just huge. So we test that, so we know after the fact, after repairs are done, we can determine, was it successful or not? We also use an infrared thermal scanner, which is a special type of camera that sees in the infrared or heat range and converts it to false color. And so that way we can look at walls and ceilings and determine where there might be missing insulation or defective insulation. So that's a really helpful tool as well.
The highest level of the energy audit involves computer modeling, using software to build the house. The software uses home energy rating systems, or HERS ratings, in order to determine the annual energy and budget savings of possible improvements made to the home. Improvements such as replacing windows or installing a new air conditioning unit. This information is required by most mortgage companies in order to receive a loan to make such home improvements. With the winter weather fast approaching, many might not have time to have an audit performed before the coldest temperatures hit. For those looking to perform do-it-yourself improvements, Gary says the first place to start is with air sealing.
And if you're a renter, then obviously there's a barrier there to, you know, sinking a lot of money into a house that you don't own. But and a lot of people think, oh, I'm cold, this is a cold room, I need insulation. Well, that may be true, but the first thing that needs to happen is air sealing, because you can put insulation in a wall or a ceiling, and if there are large gaps and cracks, the R value, the performance of the insulation, drops off tremendously. And the heated air in your house that your furnace is working so hard to provide leaves. It doesn't stick around. So if you can slow down that rate of air infiltration, that's going to dramatically affect your comfort level. So without the benefit of a blower door test, you have to think about how your house is put together and where the penetrations to the outside might be and which ones are reasonable and easy to try and deal with. Obviously, poorly fitting doors, that's one place to start. But look for other things, such as a door that goes down to a basement. Well, if the basement's not heated and you have an interior door that is not sealed, you've got a 1-inch gap at the bottom of the door and it's a loose fitting door, I mean, that's a tremendous amount of air that's being pulled up from your basement, cold air. Likewise, look at the ceiling plane. So you want to try and seal things that are at the lowest plane of the house, the floor, and the top plane. If it's a two-story house, you want to go to the ceiling that adjoins the attic. And every penetration there, like your attic access hatch, because it's up high, that's where the air is leaving the house in a big way. So those are the places you want to look for the big holes at the top and the bottom of your house and see what you can do to seal them up. It usually takes very little money, and the return in comfort and energy is pretty significant.
Fireplaces are also a major culprit of energy loss. Gary calls it an unbelievable energy hog. While they are pretty to look at, providing a romantic ambiance for many homes, it is sucking out all of the conditioned air. He even says to beware if one is trying to stay warm by using an old fireplace.
If you're not going to use the fireplace, I would check the flue. Often those old dampers are not anywhere near a tight seal, and you can't see it, but that's a tremendous path to suck the conditioned air out of your house, even when it's not being used. So if you suspect that, and that's pretty typical, there are types of dampers that are designed to install on the top of your chimney that provide an airtight seal, and you open them up if you want to have a fire. So that can help a lot, and they're not very expensive either.
There are many factors that will affect the results of an energy audit. The age and the size of the house. Has it been remodeled or added onto? Is there an attic or a crawl space? What is the occupant behavior like? Are they gone all day? Do they have children? Animals? But no matter the factors involved or the reason behind having an audit performed, the goal is the same. To develop a plan to reduce energy losses and maximize energy efficiency. For Ozarks at Large, I am Christina Thomas.
Next week, Christina reports on another way you might be losing energy at home or office, the dreaded phantom load. That's next week on Ozarks at Large.
Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Walton Arts Center and University Theater, presenting A Christmas Carol today and tomorrow. A local cast brings Ebenezer Scrooge and the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future to life on stage. Three shows only. Tickets and more information are at waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600. Support is also provided by Uncle Sam's Safari Outfitters, offering camping and hiking gear for holiday giving, including Swiss Army knives, Bushnell binoculars, plus smart wool socks and hats. Open Monday through Saturday until 8 p.m., Sundays until 5. Located in the Evelyn Hill Shopping Center in Fayetteville. UncleSamGear.com for more information.
And it is time for the KUAF and Friends Holiday Giveaway. Thanks to KUAF's underwriters, it's our chance to give back to you. You could win a gift from Trailside Cafe and Tea Room, the University of Arkansas Bookstore, Bordino's Restaurant and Wine Bar, artist Kathy P. Thompson, and others. Details, registration available on the web at KUAF.com. The drawing is the 16th during Classical Music with P.J. Hrabowski. Please, just one entry per person. Thanks and good luck. This is Ozarks at Large. The post-Thanksgiving shopping week continues to collect nicknames. There is, of course, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Now an effort is afoot to brand the Saturday after Thanksgiving as Small Business Saturday. The idea is to help local businesses cash registers. This weekend, some artists in Northwest Arkansas are hoping for a local Art Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Ozarks at Large's Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar has this report on what's become a local tradition.
For the past 9 years, the Fayetteville community hasn't had to venture too far to find jewelry, paintings, pottery, crafts, and other handmade creations made by local artists for the holiday season. The 10th annual Block Street Holiday Art Sale starts today through the weekend at Mike Shirky's Good Folk House in Fayetteville. Acclaimed photographer Don House was the one who started it all.
10 years ago, I had a studio in Elkins, about 20 miles east of Fayetteville, in an old roadhouse. I had a studio and decided to have an open studio Christmas sale, primarily to put me in the mood for the holidays, down in the doldrums for some reason. And so I invited a couple friends and family to fill the place with original art, put up a lot of photographs, and then invited people in. And it turned out to be such a great success, both bringing people in and also kind of putting everyone in the mood for the holidays, that we decided to continue it year after year.
The sale this year features artists who are presenting items ranging from journals, cards, vases, to jewelry, tapestries, and paintings. Susan Shore, a mixed-media artist and an earring designer, says it's difficult to pick a favorite artist among the many options.
You know, my personal fetish is hats, and so, of course, and I happen to be positioned right next to Karen Chotkowski's hats. But, I mean, I love everybody's work. Victoria McKinney makes just the most extraordinarily beautiful ceramic pieces, and they're Native American, Southeast Native American designs, and they're very painstakingly applied, very beautiful pieces. You know, she wins awards for a good reason. Her stuff is great. Of course, Don's photography I love, and Greg Mitchell's rustic, you know, stools and benches and whatever he has to offer. Those are always great. I have a collection of his stuff at my house. So, I mean, those are like off the top of my head, but I don't want to leave anybody out because really the work is so gorgeous. Cindy Arcega, you know, her encaustic pieces are really quite beautiful and, you know, and affordable, especially the smaller ones. So, I mean, what can I say? I love them all.
Susan will be presenting glass bead earrings, pins made of vintage Bakelite buttons and milagros, and mixed media art boxes. Susan describes her earrings as kinetic, full of movement. Another artist participating in the sale is Greg Mitchell, who makes rustic furniture.
Most of my furniture is wood. It's found wood, it's branches, it's some of it's sawn lumber. But I try to make the pieces, I make them animated, I guess you could say. Use branches that look like they could be legs and feet.
Greg says a meeting is held at the beginning of fall to delegate responsibilities to all the participants.
I think it was late August, and decide to see if everyone wants to do it again this year and make a few decisions about who's going to do what and who's going to do the, you know, call the newspapers and who's going to organize. Like, I put up the Christmas lights every year. That's my job. And we all bring cookies, and so we organize all that. And then we meet once more, what we call our postcard party, because we send out lots of postcards. And we meet, and we put the stickers on and put the stamps on and, you know, get them ready for to be mailed.
A prerequisite for participation in the sale is getting homemade cookies for the visitors. In the past, Greg has shared his favorite oatmeal chocolate chip cookies with others. Susan always takes the staple oatmeal cookies to the sale, though she might change it up a little this year. Deborah Dubois, who weaves rugs, shawls, hats, and tapestries, says the free cookies, coffee, and a fun ambience are reason enough to visit the sale.
We have, you know, of course, we have coffee and hot cider and all those things. And we all have to bake homemade cookies. It's a requirement to bring to the thing. And come for the community feeling of it, for one thing. It's really fun. It's just fun. And then look at what we do. You know, it's really, a lot of people will come every day just to see how things have changed. You know, it's just really a fun experience. Give yourself a couple hours if you need to, because it's just amazing to look at all the things that everybody makes and visit with people and, you know, stand around and actually slow down a little, because holidays are so rushed. You can slow down and enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy some food, talk to nice people, and have a good time.
The Block Street Holiday Art Sale begins today with an artist's reception between 7 and 9 p.m.
That particular reception, we have a little more food, and we really, it's an artist reception. A lot of people come. It's something they don't miss. They may not come the other days. And then we're open on Saturday from 10 to 5, and on Sunday from 12 noon to 5 p.m.
For Ozarks at Large, this is Iti Agnihotri Mudholkar.
On December 7th, Youthbridge will host its third annual It's a Wonderful Life Gala at the Fayetteville Town Center. Proceeds from the event will help the nonprofit raise the $1.2 million needed to begin construction on a new facility to house its residential, clinical, and administrative buildings. Dick Trammell and Steve Clark will serve as masters of ceremonies of the gala, which marketing director Cody Ford says will celebrate volunteerism in Northwest Arkansas.
Well, the name It's a Wonderful Life, that really just goes back. Of course, everyone knows the Frank Capra film. It's a classic. And if you think about that film, the community comes together for George Bailey in the end, because he did so much for the community. And when you stop and think about it that way, this is a celebration of the community working together. And that's why this year we chose Celebrating Volunteers as our theme.
For nearly 50 years, Youthbridge has helped at-risk and disadvantaged youth by offering services such as transitional living facilities, substance abuse treatment, family counseling, and parenting skills. This year's gala will spotlight several of the nonprofit's volunteers. Other honorees include State Senators Denny Altus, Cecil Bledsoe, Kim Hendren, Randy Laverty, Sue Madison, and Bill Pritchard. The evening's guest of honor is Jeff Schomburger, president of Procter & Gamble's Walmart Global Division.
Jeff has done a lot of great things for this community, and what's amazing about him is while he is an executive at a major corporation that deals with the largest corporation in the world, he still finds time when he's not leading his teams there to just, you know, volunteer in the community. And you know, he did a lot of work with United Way, led their capital campaign a while back. He's on the Walton Arts Center board, the Hispanic College Scholarship Fund. He works with them. So he's always giving and giving, and he's just a good guy, too. So we thought, you know, let's honor him and have a little fun with it.
To honor Schomburger, Ford explains the P&G executive will be roasted by his peers.
Ours isn't going to quite be, you know, like the Comedy Central roast of David Hasselhoff or someone. You know, it's definitely a lot more tame, and it'll just be poking a little fun at Jeff Schomburger, who is our guest of honor. And as I said, Jeff's done a lot of great things, and we've got some really good people on board. And the thing about Jeff is he is the president of the Procter & Gamble Walmart Global team. So we've gotten a great response from the vendor community who just, they want to come out. They've known the guy for years, and they want to have a little fun with him and still, you know, say some good things about him, too. We filmed one the other day for a gentleman who can't be there, and he did a great job. It was really funny, and we kind of, I edited that yesterday with a friend, and so that's just one of them. Everybody else is going to be there in person, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got Wayne Callahan, who is with Heinz. Rich Clay, who is with Kraft Foods, Peter Lane at the Walton Arts Center, and Mike Russell, who's with Procter & Gamble. So, you know, a lot of great names. Hopefully we're going to try and get a few more in there. It's been, you know, we don't know it for sure, so we should know by next week. But definitely we got some great people on board, and we're really looking forward to it. You know, Jeff's a good guy and got a good sense of humor, so I think he'll be able to take it. And as I say, this isn't going to be, you know, we won't be cruel about it. It'll just be some good-natured ribbing.
In addition to the roast, the gala will feature dinner, silent and live auctions, and entertainment by Arts Life Theater. A limited number of tickets are available for $75 per person. More information is available at 479-575-9471 or youthbridge.com.
It is Friday, December 3rd, 2010. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Becca Bacon-Martin, editor of What's Up? What's up?
Well, there are a lot of things up in Northwest Arkansas in the River Valley, but I really only want to talk about Mel Brooks.
Because Young Frankenstein's on its way.
Yes, and KUAF and What's Up got to talk to Mel Brooks.
The legendary.
The Mel Brooks. The King of Comedy is doing one interview per market for Young Frankenstein, which will be at the Walton Arts Center December 14th through 19th. And Kevin Kinder did the interview by phone from the KUAF studios, mm-hmm. So you'll get to read it December 10th in What's Up and hear it December 10th on KUAF.
Right.
Anyway, back to the future. This weekend, our very own Kings of Comedy take the Rogers Little Theater stage for A Tuna Christmas. Ed McClure and Mike Maloney are back to play 22 colorful characters from the fictional and farcical and funny Tuna, Texas.
How many times have these two guys done the Tuna, either Greater Tuna or Tuna Christmas?
This is five or six.
At least, yeah.
It's a lot. I won't read you there. We did a Q&A with them for What's Up, which I won't read to you, but they both agree that Tuna Christmas is surprisingly heartfelt. Tugs at the heartstrings mm-hmm. by way of the funny bone. Ed McClure put it beautifully. There are messages obvious, peace on earth, goodwill to everyone. Messages less obvious, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying. And messages so subtle they might be missed. If you make me come back, I'll bring a subpoena. But he said there has to be a message or the Tuna series wouldn't have endured and endeared as long as it has.
This will be at RLT.
7 o'clock today and tomorrow, mm-hmm. 2 o'clock Sunday, and again next weekend. Tickets are $11 to $16, no dinner this time. 631-8988. Also this weekend, the best Christmas pageant ever.
Again.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. Ever. Returns to the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. It is the 17th year. The story revolves around a tribe of rowdy heathens, the Herdmans, who invaded church Christmas pageant and changed the pageant and changed themselves with the magic of the season. And every year, director Harry Blundell promises it will be the best Christmas pageant ever.
And this year... It's Everest, yes.
7:30 today and tomorrow, 3 o'clock Sunday, one weekend only.
Right.
$10 to $20, 751-5441.
Speaking of one time only, Fort Smith, right?
Five by Design.
Yeah.
Wow. This is the quintet. They're from Wisconsin. They started singing together in the 1980s. I believe that they're the ones that were on the cutting edge of this trend of radio-style musical shows.
Live on stage, sound effects guy, that sort of thing.
Amazing five-part harmony. They'll be doing, it's called Radio Holidays with the Fort Smith Symphony. The Fort Smith Symphony is in the interesting position of being kind of a backing band.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to have a backing band, why not have a whole symphony?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. The show includes comedy, commercials, an inner sanctum mystery, the sound effects table, 1940s vintage costumes, and a radio host. Should be great fun. And it's 7:30 Saturday at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center. Take note, you don't just show up at a Fort Smith Symphony concert.
No. Very well might be sold out, but they do the reserve list because some tickets sometimes get turned in. So
right.
If interested, do call.
452-7575. Tickets start at $15. Willie Nelson.
Yes.
Will be playing at the Fort Smith Convention Center Tuesday at 7:30. If he can stay out of trouble that long.
Look, if you stop Willie's bus, what do you think is going to happen?
But apparently Willie is not going to jail. He's going to the Fort Smith Convention Center. And tickets are $35 to $65, 800-965-9324. Kathy Matea has not been in any trouble.
No, she has not.
And she will be at the Walton Arts Center on Thursday for a Christmas show.
I love her voice.
Yeah, and she was a... Kevin did an interview with her, and she was a very sweet lady. So 7 o'clock Thursday, tickets start at $28, 443-5600.
Okay.
And now we have the best of the rest. Deep breath. Going fast now. A Christmas Carol, University Theater.
Which is...
One weekend only.
Right. It sticks very close to Dickens' novel, but uses all sorts of 21st century video.
Cool video ghosts.
I've heard nothing but really good things about this.
One weekend only, 7 o'clock today, 2 and 7 tomorrow at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. Tickets start at $15. Saturday, There's a holiday market, the last, very last of the Fayetteville Farmers Markets at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks from 10 to 2. Holiday Bazaar at the Northwest Arkansas Community Creative Center.
Right.
At Nadine Baum Studios, 10 to 4. The Bentonville Christmas Parade is at 11 on Saturday.
Absolutely.
The Fort Smith JC's and Mayor's Christmas Parade is at 3 o'clock Saturday. There's a candlelight tour of homes in Eureka Springs from 3 to 8 Saturday. The Siloam Springs Christmas Parade is at 5:30 Saturday.
Wow.
His eyes are starting to roll back in his head.
Wow.
John Two Hawks performs a Christmas concert at 7 o'clock Saturday at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium. Tickets start at $15, and children 15 and younger are free. And for a slightly more irreverent look at the holidays, The Fun Bags are doing comedy improv at 7:30 Saturday at the York Ballroom in Fayetteville. It's $5 to get in. They could charge $10 to get out. And anyway. That's it.
Okay, well, that's a lot, and that's just through Saturday.
Oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So check out what's up. The Christmas list, yeah, it's just that time of year.
Becca Bacon Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
Musician Ozzy Osbourne was born John Michael Osbourne on this date in 1948 in Birmingham, England. Osbourne is best known as the lead singer of the popular hard rock ensemble Black Sabbath. Osbourne left school at an early age and worked at a series of menial jobs until his experiments with petty crime landed him in jail. Upon his release, Osbourne was asked by several acquaintances to sing for a new band called Earth. When the musicians began experimenting with the hard-driving, amplified sound that would later characterize the heavy metal genre, they caught the attention of record producers. The band's moniker was already in use by another group, so they adopted the name Black Sabbath, a reference to the classic Boris Karloff film. The group's 1970 debut release, Black Sabbath, was largely panned by critics, but sold well in England and abroad. Their sophomore effort, Paranoid, included the popular tracks War Pigs, Iron Man, and Paranoid, all of which were considered seminal metal anthems. Osbourne left the group in 78 at the height of Black Sabbath's popularity to pursue a solo career. His solo debut, Blizzard of Oz, in 1980, was a resounding commercial success. His Diary of a Madman the following year followed suit. Throughout the 80s, Osbourne continued to cultivate the image of the troubled loner, the social misfit, and angry rebel. His antisocial theatrics contributed to his public notoriety. In 1992, Osbourne announced that his No More Tears tour would be his last. However, the popularity of the double live album Live and Loud caused him to rethink his retirement. The album's version of I Don't Want to Change the World earned Osborne his first Grammy Award. In the 1990s, Osborne continued to release albums and tour with his traveling metal festival, Ozfest. He also starred in the reality series The Osbournes, which featured the domestic life of the musician and his family. Osborne reunited with Black Sabbath in 2005 for a tour, and the group was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the following year. Osborne devotes most of his time now to his solo career. He released Black Rain in 2007, which reached the number 3 spot on the American album charts. On this date in 1838, the first theatrical production recorded in Arkansas was mounted in Little Rock barely 2 years after statehood, when the capital city population was about 1,400. In July of 1838, a meeting had been organized to establish a theater. Attempts to sell shares for the construction of a permanent building had been unsuccessful, so the production was presented in a downtown warehouse. The show was a comedy called The Young Widow. The actor-manager was Sam Waters, who, along with his wife, formed the nucleus of Little Rock's professional troupe. Surgeons in Cape Town, South Africa, performed the first human heart transplant on this date in 1967. The patient lived 18 days with the new heart. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Last night, the cast and director of the latest Theater Squared production offered a preview of the performance at the Fayetteville Public Library. The broad comedy is titled Every Christmas Story Ever Told, and Then Some. It's about three actors assigned to bring Dickens' A Christmas Carol to the stage, but two of them hijack the production and cram as many holiday references into the script as possible. Early next week on Ozarks, we'll hear portions of the conversation about the play, but on this edition, a sneak peek, as all three actors attempt to put as many beloved Christmas songs as they can into 160 seconds.
One, two, three. You Rudolph and Frosty and good King Wenceslas. Silver bells, jingle bells, 12 days of Christmas.
But do you recall the most famous carols of all? Dashing through the snow in winter wonderland.
Adeste Fidelis.
Frosty the Snowman, ha, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah.
Fa, la, 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 la.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, oh, Tannenbaum.
Nice.
Thank you.
The first Noel, white Christmas, jolly old Saint Nick.
And Santa Claus is coming too.
Joy to the world, 5 golden rings. I saw 3 ships, we saw 3 kings. Joy to the world, 5 golden rings. I saw 3 ships, we are 3 kings.
Joy to the world, 5 golden rings. I saw 3 ships, we are 3 kings.
Jack Frost roasting on an open fire. Chestnuts nutting at your nose. Please have snow and mistletoe.
Might even say it glows.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
I saw mommy kissing Santa baby.
What a ho, 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 oh, holy night. God rest ye merry gentlemen.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad!
My grandma got run over by a reindeer.
It came upon the midnight clear, Maine.
Can I give my case a thing to say from the bottom of my
joy to the world? 5 golden rings, I saw 3 ships, we are 3 kings. Joy to the world, 5 golden rings, I saw 3 ships, we are 3 kings. Bright packages tied up with strings, these are a few of our favorite things. Pa-ra-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pum-pum, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pum-pum. Bright packages tied up with strings, these are a few of our favorite things.
That was Jim Goza, Jordan Haynes, and Sean Philip Mabry, the cast of Every Christmas Ever Told, and then some, produced by Theater Squared. The sneak peek performance took place at the Fayetteville Public Library last night. Next week, we'll hear portions of the conversation with the cast, director Morgan Hicks, and T2 co-founder Bob Ford about the play. Every Christmas Ever Told, and then some, opens December 9th. You can find out more at theater2.org. That's theater, the number 2.org.
I'm Brooke Gladstone, and on this week's On the Media, WikiLeaks, Threat or Menace? Seriously, we consider the media's role in sorting through the website's latest document dump and the impact on the Arab world, where there's no tradition of transparency. Also, the implications for the brave but beleaguered government whistleblower on the next On the Media.
On the Media, that's Sunday morning at 11 here on KUAF 91.3 FM. Ozarks at Large is supported by Dog Party USA, where dogs just want to have fun, offering obedience classes to address behavioral issues and agility classes for exercise, fun, and confidence. 306-4660 or dogpartyusa.com for more information. Support is also provided by Your Total Fitness Shop, offering cardio and strength equipment for all levels, over 65 brand name supplements, and a variety of fitness accessories. Family owned and operated since 1994, with locations in Fayetteville, Rogers, and Little Rock. Gift cards are available. 521-3481 or ytfs.com for more information.
We've already told you about many things happening this weekend during the course of this edition of Ozarks at Large, but just a couple more notes. The next meeting of Poets Northwest is tomorrow at the Jones Center for Families in Springdale. Award-winning poet and author of Mortal Geography, Alexandra Teague, will be the guest speaker. Members of Poets Northwest will share favorite poems and enjoy a Christmas celebration. For more information, 442-8028. And the Fort Smith Museum of History will have an open house tomorrow from 2 until 4. You can enjoy cookies, hot chocolate, and free admission before or after the Fort Smith Christmas Parade.
This is your public radio station, KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Scranton. KUAF is a listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
If you'd like to hear any portion of this program again, you can go online to ozarksatlarge.com. Also there, you can find audio extras that we've mentioned and find out about the music beds that are played in between our pieces. Again, ozarksatlarge.com. And if you'd like to hear classical music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can listen to KUAF HD2 for free on your HD radio, or you can also listen to KUAF HD channels at
KUAF.com.
And don't forget, weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF. Have a great Friday.